We left off yesterday at the very top of Daf Chaf Hey Amin Aleph. We got to the two dots. Just one quick thing I wanted to mention. The last thing that the Gemara had said was that if the Eved has six fingers on one hand, if he has the Yaseres V'chadcha, and then the Adam cuts off that sixth finger, the Eved is Yotzi Behen L'Cheirus. The Eved actually goes free because of that. And the Gemara said that's only if it's a real finger. It's only if it's a Nisperas Al Gav Yad. But if it's just a growth on his hand that's removed, so then it doesn't count as cutting off a limb, as cutting off a finger. There's an interesting discussion in the Tshuvas Shol Umeshiv, Madura Kamache L'Gimel Simen Tes Zayin. I believe it was quoted in those sheets that Elisha gives out. What do they call those? The Ma'oros Hadaf Yomi sheets from a sugya that we did recently about making sure that a kohen does not become a balmum. Right? The sugya was the Gemara had said that the kohen can't become nirtza. That an eved that's a kohen that's an eved can't get nirtza because it will make him a balmum and he's not going to be able to do the avodah. So the Sholem Meshev says, what happens? It was asked about a child that was born with six fingers, and they wanted to know, can they cut off that sixth finger, or is it going to be a problem that you're making him a balmum and he's not going to be able to do the avodah because you're cutting off that sixth finger on his hand? Apparently there's a doctor that was able to do the surgery and thought that it wouldn't be a problem to do the surgery, but they asked halachically, is it a problem to do that? So if you recall, back then I discussed briefly, or I just raised the issue, I didn't know anything about it, but I raised the issue of, is it really usher to make a kohen a balmum? Meaning it's an usher for balmum to do the avodah, and certainly a kohen who's able to do the avodah should do the avodah, but is it really usher to make a kohen a balmum? It's just putting him in a position where he's not going to be able to do the avodah. So the Sholem Meshev says, if there is an isser, which he debates back and forth a little bit, if there is such an isser to make a kohen a balmum, he said it might be a special din over there by the Ritzia Ba'ozen, because over there we have a pasuk that we darshin, that he's v'shavel mishpachto, that he's supposed to go back to his original position. So we have a special drasha that in that case he needs to be able to go back to his original position. He won't be able to do so if he's a balmum. But maybe in general, in dealing with the regular kohen, maybe it's not usher to make him a balmum. But he says, even if you're going to say it is usher to make a kohen a balmum normally, that's only bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam. If there's no beis hamikdash where he's not going to be able to do the avodah anyway, then there's no iser to make the kohen the balmum, which is sort of like the opposite of when we normally we tell the stories that we hear about the Chafetz Chaim or whatever, about how he wouldn't want to do anything that would make him a balmum because he was he thought the Beis Hamikdash was going to be rebuilt in his lifetime and he would be able to do the avodah. So apparently the Sholem Meshev says, yeah, we're mamin b'chol yom sheyavo, but right now it's not here, so it's too removed from us to be choshesh about becoming a balmum and therefore not being able to do the avodah. That's his approach. Okay, so we left off at the two dots, second line on the page. Chafei Amaral says the Gemara story. Sabi de Nazunya lo asu lepirkei de Rav Chista. The elders of Nazunya, it's the name of a place, did not come to Rav Chista's shir one day. So Amar lei l'Rav Hamnuna ziltsen inhu. So Rav Chista says to Rav Hamnuna, who apparently did attend the shir, was a loyal Talmud. So he said to him, go hide them. What does it mean, hide them? So says Rashi, it's a lashon of nidui l'talmud chacham. It's a lashon of a type of cherim to put them in. So they missed one day's shir, and they're put in cherim. A little bit harsh, but so he says, go put them in cherim for not showing up. Azal Amaluhu, Sir Rav Hamnuna went and he said to them, my time alas Rabban Lepirke. He figured maybe they have an explanation. So before he puts them in cherim, he says, why didn't you come to the shir? I don't understand. So Amrulay, they said, so you know, I would think maybe they're sick or whatever. But they said, my Nasi to be inan mina milsa v'lo pashatan. Why should we come to his shir? We ask him shailas, and he doesn't answer the shailas for us. We're still waiting for answers to our shailas. You know, maybe if he gives us an answer to the shaila, we'd come to the shir. So obviously they were upset. They were angry about that. Some of the who. So Rav Hamnuna, trying to defend Rav Chista, said, did you ever ask me a shayla that I didn't answer? So what's his point by saying, did you ever ask me a shayla that I didn't answer? It wasn't about him, it was about Rav Chista. No, but apparently he was telling him that, look, I'm the Talmud. I'd answer the shayla. It must have been an oversight. Look, it's not that Rav Chista can't answer your shaylas. He's more than capable of answering your shayla. Even if you ask me a shayla, I'll be able to answer it to you. I'm sure Rav Chista would have been able to answer the shayla. Right? Or maybe he was saying, don't always judge the the rabbi because he didn't give you an answer exactly when you wanted it. Sometimes rabbis answer shalas. Don't worry about it. Sometimes maybe he forgot, maybe whatever. It's things happen, but you shouldn't make a bigger deal out of it than it is. So he said, did you ever ask me a shaila that I didn't answer? So they said, okay, we never did, but let's give it a shot. Bo minei. So they said, okay, here's our shaila. And I don't know if this was the same shaila, probably was the same shaila that they had asked Rav Chista that they never got an answer for. So he said, what about an eved whose master castrated him in the testicles? So mahu, kimum shabakali dami, alo, is that considered an exposed mum, or is that not considered an exposed mum? Because we said that even though the Torah only lists shein va'ayin as mum, and that an eved would go free with if you cut off his cut out his eye or knock out his tooth, those are just prototypes of the types of mumin that an eved would go free with, and it's really any mum shabagoloi that's a nochozer, any exposed mum that wouldn't grow back. So this is certainly it doesn't grow back, but the question is it a mum shabagoloi or not? I mean, do you say since it's contained within the sack, so it's not considered a mum shabagoloi, or do you say that since it's outside of the basic part of the body, it is considered a mum shebegalui. So lo hava biyada. In fact, Rav Nuna did not know the answer. So amru lo mashimcha. So they said to him, "What's your name?" Amru lohu. He said, "Hamnuna. My name is Hamnuna." Amru le, lav Hamnuna ela Karnuna. Well, it shouldn't be Hamnuna. It should be Karnuna. Well, what kind of insult is that? So says Rashi, Yoshev Kronos at velo bal Torah. Karnuna from a lashon of Yoshev Kronos. Right? We say. In the Siyam, we say Hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was Samta Chalkeinu Miyoshev Beis Hamedrash Lo Miyoshev Kranos, that we're not amongst the Yoshev Kranos, the people who sit in the market all day and who aren't sitting and learning Torah all day. So so they called him. They said, "You think you're a Talmud Chacham? You know better than the Yoshev Kranos. You're just like a regular Yoshev Kranos." Tosos, however, doesn't think that's the pshat. Tosos has an alternative pshat. If you look in the second line of Tosos, Virah. Pirish ata omer hamnuna hainu cham nuna. What's a nuna? A nuna is a fish. So he says you're called hamnuna, which is the lashon of the hay and the ches are interchangeable. It's the lashon of cham nuna, like a warm fish, meaning something that has a dag cham, something that has a little bit of flavor, a little bit of life to it. Ve'ein kein ela karnuna. Rather, you are karnuna, a cold fish. Dag shahu kar. Right, nuna is a fish, kar is cold, so you're not chamnuna, you're not a warm fish, you're really just a cold fish, you don't know anything. So that was the one way or the other, it was an insult. So also kamed Rav Chista, so he went back to Rav Chista, and he didn't know, he told, I guess he reported the story over to Rav Chista of exactly what happened. Amrlei Masnisa Baumunach, he said, well, they asked you something that's a Beferish Mishnah, so maybe you should have known it, because the Tanan, the Mishnah talks about the following, Esrim Varba Rashi Varm Shaba Adam, the 24 Rashi Evarim, tips of limbs on a person, are not metami mishum michya. What kind of tumah is tumas michya? So says Rashi, shame echad min ha-negayim. It's the name of one of the negayim, of one of the types of tzara'as. Kedichsivu michyas basar chai b'se'es. Because of kol mara inea kohen, shete kula niris ka'achas, that normally for a type of tzara'as, the entire nega has to be visible at one time to the kohen. The kohen has to be able to look at the entire nega. Prat lemichya, she b'makom ha-meshupa, v'yorid the koltzad, she'in yachlirus rosh ha-nega v'ragel v'ka'achas. A michya is a nega that's on a part of the body where because of the angle of the limb and the way it's shaped, the circular, the round shape, or whatever it is, it's difficult to it's impossible to see the entire nega at the same time, like a nega on the fingertip, so you can see one side, you can see the other side. It's very hard to see all sides at the same time. So that's a separate special type of negayim called michya. What are these 24 types of these 24 places on the body where you mitamim shum michya ve'eluhem? And they are the following: Rashi etzbaos yadayim v'raglayim. So 20 of them are easy. We knock 20 of them right off. The 10 toes, 10 fingers. V'rashei aznayim, the tips of your ears. V'rashei achotem, the tip of the nose. V'rosh hagavia, the tip of the male aver. V'rashei dadim shabi'isha, the tips of a woman's breasts. Rabbi Yehuda omer af shabi'ish. Rabbi Yehuda says even a man's nipples are also considered, even though they're not, they don't protrude as much, they're also considered to be shaped in such a way that they're metamim shemichya. V'tani Allah, and we said about that, Bikulam Evid Yotzi Bam L'Cheres. I mean, what do we care about Tumas Mechia over here in Kiddush and Daf Chaf Hei? No, because all of these same limbs are the same limbs that an Evid would go L'Cheres in. If he was injured, if these parts of the body were knocked off by the master, so all these things an Evid would go free for. Rebbe Omer Af Hasirus, and Rebbe says, no, there's another thing on the list. Sirus also, the Evid would go L'Cheirus. Benazai Yomer Af Halashon. Benazai says, we have to add another thing to the list as well, the tongue. That if the tongue is knocked off, the Evid also goes L'Cheirus. So you see, it's a Beferish Mishnah. They ask you, Sirus Shebebeitzim, whether an Evid goes L'Cheirus. You see, Rebbe says, Af Hasirus is a Beferish Mishnah, that's Rebbe Shita. How do we know Rebbe's talking about Sirus Bebeitzim and not on the Gid, not on the actual Aver itself? So the Gemara is about to analyze. Amr Mar, Rebbe Omer Af Hasirus. So we just said that Rebbe holds the Sirus, that Sirus is also something an Evid would go L'Cheirus for. So says Amr, Sirus Demai. Where was the Sirus done? Was it done on the Aver or on the Beitzim? Ilema Sirus de Gid, Hainu Gviya. So if Sirus is on the Gid, on the actual Aver itself, well, that's already listed in the original 24, right? We said Rashi, it's Bal Yadayim Raglayim, Rashi Yadayim, Rashi Yachotim, Rosh HaGaviyah. That's the reference to Gaviyah in the first part. So Rebbe wouldn't be adding anything if that's what he was referring to with Sirus. Elolav, Sirus debates him. So it must be when Rebbe said Sirus, he was saying Sirus debates him. So you see, that's exactly our point, that it's a Beferish Mishnah that Rebbe holds that Sirus debates him would set the Evid free. And the Makna has an interesting question over here. He points out that we have a klal that in the local Mishalim, in the local Mishalim, a person doesn't get Malkus and have to pay for the same crime. That you only get the Malkus and you end up not having to pay. It's part of Kam Lebed Rab Minei. Just like if you incur a Chi of Mi, when you shoot someone in the heart with a gun and the bullet rips through his shirt and kills him, so you don't have to pay for the shirt, because anyway you're going to be Chayiv Misa for killing him. So Kam Lebed Rab Minei, you're putter from paying for the shirt. So the same is true when it comes to Malkus and Mammon. It's Machlokas and Mark Subas, but let's assume Malkus and Mammon ain't Adam Loko Mishalim. You're only get the Malkus, you're not going to pay. There is an Isser in the Torah to be Misares anybody, not just human beings, to be Misares even animals. There's an Isser in the Torah. That's the big question, one of the big problems with dog ownership in Halacha, is that when you own a dog, legally, I think, if it's not legally, it's at least advised to have a less aggressive dog, that they're Misares then, that they neuter the dogs. So if that's the case, it's a major issue. It's an issur d'oraisa to go and be misaris anything, even an animal. So it's a major shaila. Whatever poskim deal with it, it's a big shaila. Exactly how to do it, if it can be done anyway. But the point is that there is an isser, a chiv malkus, of being misaris anything, including an eved. So let's say the adam was misaris the eved, so he's chiv malkus for violating the issur d'oraisa. So frek the makna, how can the eved go free also? Aren't you being mechayiv the adon money when you let the eved free? So you're being mechayiv and malkus umamon at the same time. So I would have thought that the fact that the eved goes free is not a chiyuv per se. I mean, this relates probably to the discussion we had earlier, the machlokas tanaim. Does he need a shtar shichur or does he not need a shtar shichur? Meaning, if it's automatic, it's not that the adon is chayiv to pay money. The adon is chayiv to set his eved free. It's just that's it. The eved goes free when he suffers from any of these injuries. He automatically goes free. If you're going to say though that you have to write a shtar shichur, the shittas Rabbi Shimon, that the adon needs to write a shtar shichur, so then you understand. Then I think the kasha is a stronger kasha, right? That you're being mechayiv him to lose his money, even though you're also being mechayiv in Malkus. And how could that be? That's the Maknas Kasha. So the Maknas says that perhaps the type of Sirus that we're talking about is Sirus that you do not through a direct Maisa. Meaning, what do? You you stick him in snow and leave him there, in buried in snow, and that ultimately, after some time, causes a sirus, right? That causes him to suffer from a sirus. So in that situation, he said, you wouldn't get malchus because it's only a grama. It's liachar zman, that the time delay, even though you did something to him, you stuck him in the snow, but nevertheless, the time delay makes it a grama, which is also an interesting discussion in the poskim. How do we define the term grama? Is time delay enough to make something a grama? This was the big shaila, or part of the big shaila, when it came to the Sabbath mode ovens and appliances. That part of the issue with the Shabbos mode that Rav Heinemann Shlita was makel about was that he felt that the time delay, the 5 second time delay, whatever it is, from the time you hit something till the time something turns on, he thought that that's considered enough of a grama. Others said, wait a second, time delay alone maybe shouldn't be considered a grama. But anyway, that's the machanas. First answer that's the Machna's answer, that maybe because it's on a delay, you do the sirus in such a way that it's only going to be a grama, you're not going to be chayv malchus, and therefore you'll let the it's not a problem of ein loko mishalim. In Shar Mitzion Ba'alacha, he quotes this Machna, and then he quotes from the Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak that Shitas Rashi Maseches Ba'Metzia Dav Tzadi Aleph is that even though we say ein adam loko mishalim. Let's say Reuven really deserves Malkus and should have to pay Shimon money. But because they know the local Mishalim, he's not going to have to pay Shimon money. What if Shimon comes and grabs the money from Reuven? Now can Reuven sue? Can Reuven go to Beis Din and say, I want my money back? So Shitas Rashi is, no, im tafas lo mafkinan minei. That if he already grabbed it, we don't take it back. Because technically, Reuven was really chayiv to pay Shimon. So if Shimon in fact takes it, we're not going to take it back from Shimon to give back to Reuven. The Shita of the Rush, in the end of the first paragraph of Baba Kama, is that an Eved is tafas liatzmo. That he's holding, it's ki'ilu, he grabbed on to his own body constantly. Now sometimes Tfisa works, sometimes it doesn't. But over here, where the master is technically chayiv to let him free, even though he's getting malchus. It's just that he's patur because ain't no local mishalim, but the eved is toface. So as soon as he's toface, his own body, so automatically he's it's lo mafkinun minei. We don't take him back. So that's how the Ein Yitzchak is mitarets the kasha the makna. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, second wide line. Rebbe Omer af hasirus. So Rebbe had said that sirus is also included on the list of rashi evarim for which an eved would go free, and then after Rebbe said Afasirus, Benazai came along and said Afhalashon, that the tongue is also considered something that's a mum shebagalui that the Eved would go free for. So, Frek the Gemara, Rebbe Lashon Mo, does Rebbe hold that the tongue is not a mum shebagalui? It's not an exposed mum where the Eved would go free? Or a minu? Harimisha yamazev nitze haza'a alpiv. If you were going through the sprinkling of the Efer Paraduma, right, the sprinkling on you and the haza'a lands on one's mouth, Rebbe Yomer Hiza, Rebbe says that's a good hazaah, that's fine. Now, the halacha is it has to land on a galui part of the body, right? It has to land on an exposed part of the body. Now, the mouth, apparently, Rebbe holds, is exposed because it counts as a good hazaah. The chamam lohiza, the chamam say, no, it's not a good hazaah. My lav al lashono, which part of the mouth are we talking about? Aren't we talking about the tongue? Isn't that the issue of whether that's called exposed or not? And you see, Rebbe says it is called exposed, so how can you tell me that Rebbe holds that if the evidence Lashon, if his tongue gets cut off, that he doesn't go free because it's not called exposed? We see by Hazaah he does consider it to be exposed. It says, well, lo, al sfasav. No, when it says on the mouth, it doesn't mean on his tongue, it means on his lips. And that's why Rebbe says the lips are exposed. So for that counts as a Hazaah. But the tongue is not considered exposed. Frankly, well, al sfasav pshita. Well, what's the if it's on his lips? What's the havamina to say that it shouldn't count as a good hazaah? How, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't phrase it as al sfasav. Then what's the shita of the chachamim? I mean, how could the chacham say that? That's probably what the Gemara means. But how could the chacham say that it's not a good hazaah? It's vaday on an exposed part of the body if it's on the lips. So says the Gemara, no, ma'u detema zimna dechalim sfasay kamash malan. I might have thought that sometimes one will close his lips very tightly, and the lip, even part of the lip, won't be exposed if you close your lips very tightly. So I might have thought that it's not called an exposed part of the body. Kamash malan, that it is called an exposed part of the body. So all Rebbe is telling me is that the lips are exposed. The tongue is not an exposed part of the body, and therefore the Eved will not go l'cheirus if you chop off his tongue. Frankly, Gemara v'atanya al l'shono, but doesn't it say beferish in the Brisa al l'shono? We have a Brisa that says beferish, that even if the sprinkling lands on his tongue, that Rebbe holds it's good enough. V'otanya Furthermore, we have another braisa when it talks about a mum in an animal. It says v'shenital rov halashon. If rov of the tongue is removed, then Rabbi Yomer rov hamedaber shebelashono. Rabbi says most of the part of the tongue that aids in speech, if that part is cut off, that's considered a mum. And by an animal, the only kind of mum that we consider a mum is a mum shebegalui. So it has to be something that's an exposed part of the body. So you see, clearly Rebbe holds the Lashon is considered an exposed part of the body. Why in the world would Rebbe not hold in this Mishnah by the Rashi Evarim that an Eved goes free when you cut off the Lashon? The Lashon is Vadai considered an exposed part of the body. Over here, Rov HaMedaber is just an expression, meaning we're talking about the mum on an animal, the thing that separates man from animal, right? The famous Kuzari we've mentioned numerous times, and all the levels of creation. You have the Domeim, Domeim like a rock, it just doesn't do anything. The Tzomeach, which is something that plant life sprouts, so it's a little bit of a higher level of bria, right? There are mishugayim that think plants should have rights and you shouldn't, but whatever. Then there's the next higher level of bria, which is the balchai, something that actually is an animal, something like that. And then the next level of bria is a medaber, a human being is a medaber. The Kuzari suggests that there's a fifth level of bria, there's a Yisrael, right? That Bnei Yisrael are like a new level of bria. It's like a totally different metzias than the other. But a medaber is what distinguishes human beings from animals. We're talking about a mum on an animal, so we say rov hamedaber shebelashono. It's just an expression. The animal obviously doesn't talk. It means what the part of the tongue that on a human being would be the talking part of the tongue. I'm not sure which part of the tongue is not the talking part of the tongue. I didn't look up the sugi and bechoros, but I would imagine you need your whole tongue, because I don't know. But the point is, you see clearly Rebbe holds that the Lashon is an exposed part of the body. Ella, Rebbe Yomer Sirus V'lomi Bayi Lashon. When Rebbe says Af HaSirus, and then Ben Azai says Af HaLashon, Rebbe says, yes, Af HaSirus is considered something that the Eved would go free, and the truth is Lashon is also something that the Eved would go free for. It doesn't even need to be said. Ben Azai Omer Lashon Av HaSirus Lom. Ben Azai is the one that's more exclusive. Ben Azai says, no, only if you cut off the tongue. But Sirus, he thinks, is not enough for the Eved to go free. Frankly, Gemara, my Af. If Ben Azai says only Lashon, not Sirus, how could it be that Ben Azai says Af HaLashon? Rebbe just said Sirus. Then Ben Azai says, even Lashon. Even makes it sound like I agree with everything you said, but I have something else to add to the list. How can Ben Azai say the word Af if he doesn't agree with Rebbe's idea of Sirus? So Akamaisa, no, the Af is going on the other 24. He's saying not only the 24 that were mentioned before Rebbe, there's a 25th. But if that's really the way it works, Ben Azai Shita should have been mentioned first. We should have said 24, Ben Azai says Af HaLashon, and then Rebbe says, not only those 24 plus the Lashon, Af HaSirus. So says Mara, Tana Shamalud Rebbe Vikava, Vishamalud Ben Azai Vitani, Umishal Azazimimakoma, that the Tana first knew the Shita of Rebbe and was Kaveya in the Mishnah, and then Ben Azai was a later addition to the Mishnah, but he didn't want to change the original text of the Mishnah, the original say there of the Mishnah around, just to add in Ben Azai, so Ben Azai was added in the end, because I guess they already had it memorized in that way, so they didn't want to alter the text. My time. Everyone agrees regarding Tumah that the tongue is considered galui, that it's considered something that's exposed, and therefore it can become Tameh when it touches the Sheretz. Why? Asher yiga bo amarachmana v'ainami bar negiyahu. Pasuk says anything a Sheretz touches becomes Tameh. So anything that's a bar negiya, anything that could be touched by a Sheretz, the tongue could be touched. Linyan tefillah ketamun dami. And when it comes to going to a mikvah, the tongue is for sure considered as if not an exposed part of the body. My taima v'rachatz b'saro b'mayim amar achmana. The Torah says that you wash your basar in mayim. Ma b'saro me'avrai, just like your flesh is outside, is external. Af kol me'avrai, you only need to wash the external part of your body in water. Lo nechliku el linyan haza'a. The only machlokas is when it comes to the sprinkling. Rebbe medami lo v'tumav rabba. So it's a machlokas whether we should compare sprinkling to tuma or we should compare it to tevila. And they both have the same pasuk to base their shitos on. It says that you do the hazah of the tar on the tameh, and therefore we assume that the issue of hazah relates to tumah, and whatever works for tumah, whatever part of the body can become tame, can also have the hazaah. Rabbanan savi v'chatu biyom ha'shvi v'kibis bugada v'rachatz b'mayim. That the pasuk continues and goes on to talk about v'rachatz b'mayim. So he talks about tvila. So the Rabbanan say clearly then the hazaah is related to tvila. Whatever works for tvila, whatever would be considered galui and therefore would need bias mayim for tvila would also be eligible for hazaah. So frankly, of Rabbanan nami nidmi l'tuma. Why don't the Rabbanan compare it to tuma like Rebbe does? Taramitara v'leilameil. I think it's more logical to derive one method of tara from the other method of tara, meaning hazaah is a way to be mitahir something. So it makes more sense to derive how to be mitahir through hazaah from how to be mitahir through tevila, rather than from how something becomes tameh. V'Rebbe nidmi l'tevila. That sounds like a good point. Why doesn't Rebbe hold like that? Why doesn't Rebbe compare it to tevila? V'chibes begadav hifsek inyan. Because Rebbe says by the time the pasuk gets around to talking about tevila, it already spoke about something a totally different halacha. So that was mafsik. It spoke about v'chibes begadav. So it was a totally different issue that was discussed in the pasuk till we got to the tevila. So he thought the connection to tuma was a stronger connection than the connection to tevila. Does Rebbe really hold that regarding tevila, the mouth is considered hidden and therefore doesn't need water? There was a story that happened with a shivcha in Rebbe's house, went to the mikvah, and she came out of the mikvah, and it turned out that she had a bone in her tooth the whole time, and Rebbe required her to be tevil again. Required another tevila. So says Gemara, he the bias mayim lo beinon makom aroy lavu bo mayim beinon. When it comes to the beis hastarim, when it comes to the mouth, as we've discussed on numerous occasions, when it comes to the mouth, you don't need the water to actually go into the mouth, but you need a makom aroy lo bias mayim. You can't have a chatzitza in the mouth. It has to be that if she were to open her mouth in the mikvah, the water would be able to go throughout the mouth and would not come across any chatzitzos. But she doesn't actually have to open the mouth. Now, we pointed out in this Gemara that the lips are vaday considered something that's gully. That's not based on starim. So that's why yet the Gemara also said that sometimes if you close your lips tightly, you know, the part of the lips that's normally exposed is not going to be exposed. Water is not going to get on that part. So that's why women go to the mikvah, they close their mouths, but they have to be careful not to close it too tightly. Because if they close it too tightly, parts that are supposed to be exposed, that do need actual bias mayim, aren't going to get actual bias mayim. So the Kidrabi's, and where we get this idea from, that you have a part of the body that doesn't need bias mayim, but it needs roi l'bias mayim, such a strange concept. So it says more Kidrabi Zera, Dom Rabbi Zera, call roi l'bi lein bil ma'keves bo, v'shen roi l'bi lein bil ma'keves bo. That's like Rabbi Zera says, that anything that's roi l'bi la does not require bila, meaning this is talking about the original context by Korban Mincha, that the Torah gives exact measurements of 60 sin of flour and one lug of shemen. So why 60 and one? So the Gemara says, because, and fract the Gemara in Tosos of your Kotzal context in Menachos, Gemara says, what if the Gemara says that if you do 61 sit in a flour, then you're going to need two lugan of shemen. One is not going to be enough. You have to split them into two separate kelim and do another lug of shemen. Because the assumption is that amount of flour can't mix well with that amount of oil. You need another, more oil to mix it well together. So the Gemara says, who cares if it can mix well with the oil? You don't actually need to mix it anyway. There's no chiyuv to mix the oil and the flour anyway. The bila is not ma'akev. You don't need to do the bila. So the Gemara says, no, you don't need to do the bila. You don't need to do the bila, but you need it to be ro'i the bila. You need to be able to do the bila. That's how the Gemara Menachos plays out. Tosos of Yer asks a strong kasha. He says, wait a second. Maybe the difference is alechadchil and b'di'evet. Meaning, maybe the reason we're saying that you should split it into two separate kelim is not because kol roi l'bila kol sher, maybe because l'chadchila you're supposed to do bila. So we want you to be yotzei the l'chadchila dikadin of doing bila. That's why we tell you to split it into two separate kelim and bring extra oil to make sure, because really you're supposed to do the bila. So says Tosos, an interesting concept. He says, if there was a l'chadchila dikadin to do bila, there is a l'chadchila dikadin to do bila, but if someone wanted to be misnadev so much flour to bring such a huge carbon, that even without Bila, that the lechatchila aspect of being misnadiv so much, of being so giving in his karban, would outweigh the lechatchila dekadin of Bila. And he shouldn't need Bila because he's compensating for Bila by being so generous in his karban. Very strange concept. I would have thought he's generous, but there's a different halacha called Bila. So that's the Gemara's assumption. This is an important tells that carries over to Amud Beis. Tells us to ask, where do we get this idea of ro'i? I don't understand. He says, normally we have a concept, shina alav akasav la'akev, that the Torah will sometimes repeat something to show that it's ma'akev. This is a manavshach. If the Torah repeats it, so then it should be ma'akev. You should need it. You should need Bila. And if the Torah doesn't repeat it, so it shouldn't be required in the first place. Well, what's this idea of it's recommended, but it's not, you need it to be ro'i, but it doesn't have to be ma'akev, but it's not ma'akev. So he says, he says, clearly balul is mentioned in the Torah many times. It's mentioned, but it's not said as an imperative, that it's something you must do. And when it says ubilalta, it says it as just keeps on saying it, but without the imperative, tells us that you don't need it, but you need it to be ra'ui for the bila. That's how we're able to darshan. Tos over here does not mention the issue that he mentions in Maseches Nidan Daf Samach Vav, where Tosa says that why don't we say that lechatchila, let's say by the Beis HaStarim, right, by the woman going to the mikvah, or a man going to the mikvah for that matter, that lechatchila you should have to open your mouth, you should have to have the water go into the Beis HaStarim, and b'diavad yotzei. Why don't we just say it's a lechatchila b'diavad din? Why do we say it's a ro'i versus actually having it in? Say it's a lechatchila versus b'diavad. Lechatchila you should have to open your mouth. Did you ever hear such a thing, that a woman lechatchila should have to open her mouth when she goes to the mikvah? When she goes to the mikvah, absolutely not. Right? Why not? Why don't we just say lechatchila she should, and b'diavad yotzei if she doesn't? So says tells us an important yesod that the Achronim pick up and run with, and that is that there's a difference between a mitzvah and a matir. When it comes to a mitzvah, so then we can talk about lechatchila b'diavad, right? To do the mitzvah in the best way, the second best way. When we're talking about a matir, tefillah is not a mitzvah, it's a matir, meaning now she becomes tahar. So bottom line, is the tumah gone? The tumah is gone? So then it was done. So there's no such thing as lechatchila, the best way to get rid of the tumah, the second best way to get rid of the tumah. The point is to get rid of the tumah. It's a matir. So there's no such thing as a lechatchila b'diavad by a matir. It's a question, we have to go through every matir and see if we talk about lechatchila b'diavad shechita, the matir or mitzvah. You also have to analyze each thing, whether it's a matir or each area of halacha, whether it's a matir or mitzvah. But that's how Tosa says in Nida Daf Samach Vav. That's why the idea of kolorei lebila, it's not pshat that lechatchila you should do bila, b'diavad you need it to be ro'i lebila, and not even having your ro'i lebila is so bad, such a low b'diavad that it's not even good, meaning it's lower than b'diavad. It's not pshat in lechatchila b'diavad, because again Tosfos, because then you wouldn't be able to apply that concept by tevila. By Karban Mincha would work because that's a mitzvah, but we wouldn't be able to apply it over to tevila. So what the Rashbam says in Babasra, what's pshat in kolorei lebila? Pshat is the Torah gave a shear that this is how the mitzvah is supposed to be done. When you put too much flour, that's not the shear. It's like it's just not the right amount. It's like taking an esrog that's smaller than the proper size. It's just not the shear. You're not fitting into the what the Torah had asked, what the Torah had demanded that a person does for that particular mitzvah. Then Tosfos asks another kashya. He says, "In Tomar b'tevila minale debinan rotli. Where do we ever see by tevila that you need roi labia?" Meaning, I understand labias ma'im. I understand very well by Karban Mincha we just established where it says it. Where do we ever see by tevila that there's such a concept, that there's this in between concept that really most of the body needs bias ma'im, but the Beis HaStarin doesn't need bias ma'im, just needs roi. So he says, "V'yishlomer mishum dechsev v'rachatz is kol besaro demashma afilu Beis HaStarin." It says you should wash kol besaro, which implies even the Beis HaStarin. Uksiv v'yadav v'dar, and it also says v'yadav v'darshin and ma yadav me'avra. And we have this room to darshan that yadav is something totally external, and therefore you should only need to wash that which is totally external. Well, how do we make those two shtim, right? The only washing something totally external and washing the inside of your mouth. So mematim beis astarim mikol makom kibin the ikal kaldim rabina nafilu beis astarim ikal memer mikol apachus tafim rabbi dibin and roy libias mayim. So it must be that really, what do you need to wash? Only that which is totally external. What do we do with the word kol, which sounds like it's telling me to wash the beis astarim, the inside of the mouth also? It's telling me that it needs to be roy libias mayim. That's where we get such a concept. Now it sounds from Tosos that the idea that you need roy libias mayim is definitely a dinta oraisa. He's showing that we darshan it from psukim. It's a major machlokas rishonim. The whole school of the Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, they all say that no, it's only a dinta rabbanan that you need roy libias mayim in the beis astarim, in the inside of the mouth, the bottom part of the nose, the inside of the ears. Right? They hold that it's only a din midrabanan. It's a major nafkamina how we paskin, because if you have an issue of safek, so safek drabanan lekula, safek daraisa lechumra, obviously, so it's a major issue in halacha whether we say it's a daraisa or a drabanan. Rav Moshe has a very famous shuva we discussed when we had the Shabbos afternoon share in the Hakdama to the Igros Moshe, so that in that famous shuva about the woman who couldn't go to the mikvah because she couldn't get water in her ears. So Rav Moshe discusses, obviously, a lot of these issues in terms of she needed to put some sort of cotton or something in her ear in order to enable her to go to the mikveh. That was the tshuva that Rav Moshe disagreed with Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, and Dayan Abramsky thought that she could not go to the mikveh. Rav Moshe was mekel, and they sent their tshuvas to Rav Chaim Moser to decide who was correct. And Dayan Abramsky was the more senior rabbi at the time. Dayan Abramsky said, look, there's this kid rabbi in Russia, I'll send you his tshuva too, but here's my tshuva. And Rav Chaim Moser was so impressed with Rav Moshe's tshuva at the time that he started telling everybody that there are two brothers in deep in Russia that are learning Torah like it was learned hundreds of years ago. He was so impressed by Rav Moshe's tshuva, he thought Rav Chaim Moser said he was also matir, but he thought Rav Moshe's tshuva was much better than his. But anyway, so these are some of the issues that Rav Moshe discusses in that tshuva. Okay, I think it's in the first Chelek Yardeya. It's like three tshuvas in a row. Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Ches, Tzadi Tes, something like that. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Kitanoi, really maybe the whole idea of Sirus debates him, if that's considered a mumsha begali or not, is a machlokas tanaim. Umachu kasus v'nasuv kakaras. The Torah tells us all the different types of mumin, that there are all the different types of problems with the beitzim or with that part of the body that you can have. So kulan bebeitzim de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it relates to the testicles. Bebeitzim v'lo begid. So frankly, Gemara, really only if this happens to the testicles, but not to the gid itself. Elu kulan af bebeitzim de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no. These things are all problems if they apply to the beitzim or to the gid. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says no, they all apply to the gid. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mauch v'katos af bebeitzim. The two of them, Mauch v'katos, applies both to the beitzim and to the gid. Natuk v'karos begidin bebeitzim lo. Natuk v'karos only applies to the gid, but not to the beitzim. Fine, new Mishnah. Behema gasa niknas b'mesira. One can acquire a behema gasa by doing mesira. What does mesira mean? Mesira means you take the, leash of the animal, and you without moving the animal, Reuven takes the leash and hands it to Shimon. Shimon holds onto the leash, so the mesira happened. You take whatever the saddle and give it to the other one. You know, Reuven gives it to Shimon. That's mesira. Now, obviously, behema gasa, you're not going to be able to magbia pashtos. How are you going to pick up a behema gasa from the ground? You can't take a cow and lift it up. You have to be very strong to do that. That's impossible. So behema gasa, you can't, since it's not normal to be magbia it, so we do mesira. Vadaka bagba, but to acquire behema daka, a sheep or something like that, so that you can pick it up and give it to the other person. Divra meir v'rab lozer. That's where meir v'rab lozer hold. V'cham omr behema daka niknas b'mashicha. V'cham say that a behema daka is acquired through mashicha, that you can just pull the behema daka along. You don't need to actually lift it off the ground. You can just pull it along. So Tos over here points out that Rashi seems to assume that Mesira needs to be miyad liyad, like I described. That Reuven picks up the leash and hands it to Shimon. That it has to go from the hand of one person to the other. But Tosa said, and he quotes all the rayas that the Rivam brings for Shitas Rashi. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, "My lashon Mesira ka adam amoser davar lechavero." That the word Mesira is one guy giving to the other. So you see, you need miyad liyad, one person giving to the other. The Gemara says over there as well, by Metzia nichse ager man masalei Likni. If I find a Mitzia, how can I acquire a Mitzia through Mesira? No one's there to give it to me. Again, implying that in order to be Kona through Mesira, what? I need someone to give it to me. I need a Mesira, miyad liyad. It says Tosos, V'kasha l'ri, d'arminin l'al ketzav Mesira aksa b'talfeh, d'loshen achiza b'talfeh, mashma shemei atzma oksav, lo mashma l'adam. Previously, the Gemara had said, how do you do Mesira? You're ochez, you grab onto it. Achiza makes it sound like you grab it without someone handing it to you. Right? That's what achiza sounds like, that you don't need someone to hand it to you. So Tosfos says, I disagree with Rashi. You don't need the guy to actually hand it to you, but you do need him to say, go and make a kinyan on it. Go and make a kinyan on it. And in fact, he says, that's what the Gemara was saying about Mitzia when it says, does one acquire a Mitzia with Mesira? There's no one to be Moser it to him. It doesn't mean there's no one to hand it to you. It means there's no one to say, Lechazekukni. And he says the very Lashon, Lechazekukni. If a guy was handing it to you, you wouldn't say Lechazekukni. Says Tosa Dan, you would say Ta Chazekukni. You would say, come, take it. You wouldn't say, go, take it, because I don't need you to go further away. I need you to come to me so I can give it to you. So says Tosa Dan, you don't need Miyad Liyad when it comes to Mesira. Darish, back in the Gemara, Darish Rav Bikimchunya, Behemagasa Niknas Bemeshicha, that Behemagasa needs to be pulled. Mesira is not enough. You need to pull the animal so the animal will move a little bit. Ashkechinu Shmuel Talmidid Rav. So Shmuel found the Talmidim of Rav. Amalu, when he said to them, "Mi Amar Rav Behemagasa Niklas B'Meshicha?" Does Rav really say you need Meshicha by Behemagasa? V'anan B'Mesira Tanan. Didn't he learn the Mishnah? The Mishnah. No one argued in the Mishnah about that. Everyone in the Mishnah agreed that when it came to the Behemagasa, that was Niklas B'Mesira. You don't need Meshicha. And not only that, for Rav Nami B'Mesira Amar. Rav also. I've heard Rav himself say you need Mesira. So why are you going around saying that Rav holds you need Meshicha by Behemagasa? What, did Rav change his mind? Is it something I should know about? Rav always said that you need Mesira. He said, like our Mishnah, that it's Mesira, not Meshicha. So says Gemara, who the Amar, he did change his mind. And in fact, he decided to go against our Mishnah and instead to pass like the sheet of the Tan and the Braisa. The Tanya, that the Braisa says, that the Behemagasa and the Behemadaka can both be acquired through Meshicha. Rabbi Shimon Amar Zuvzu Ba'agbar. Rabbi Shimon says both can be acquired through Hagba. Maskar of Yosef El Me'at Apil Rabbi Shimon B'Me'i Yikna. So they said, wait a second. A behema gasa is supposed to be acquired through agba? Okay, a cow, you go to the gym for a long time and you work out, you manage to figure it out how to pick up the cow. What about the elephant? You're acquiring an elephant. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do agba on an elephant? So Amalei Abaye b'chalipin. Abaye says, simple. You do a kinyan chalipin on the elephant. You don't do the hachnasa l'rushu, so that type of kinyan of the meshicha agba, mesira type of kinyan, because you would need agba, and obviously it's impossible, so you go with a different form of kinyan. Inami b'socheres mekoma, or maybe you rent out the place where the elephant is, and through the kinyan on the karka, you're kona the metaltal on top of it, you're kona the animal that's on the karka as well. You're socheres mekoma. Happens to be a big discussion in the Rishonim whether we paskin socheres mekoma works for a kinyan. Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos of all places in Siman Reish Mem Vav paskins that you're not allowed to be maskir behema to a guy because that the guy is going to do malacha with on Shabbos because schirus is not kona. Schirus doesn't work enough for the person to be. If you're socher makomo, does that really work to be acquire things on top? So schirus is not going. He holds that schirus is not a good kinyan shulchan aruch paskins, and therefore it's going to be a violation of shrisas behema if you rent out your animal and the guy is working with it on Shabbos. So we paskin against this. We paskin that schirus is not kona. So the Sharm Tzion Balacha discusses what about how come we in our shtaros from mechiras chametz we're socher the makom to a guy. If we paskin schirus is not kona anyway, how does it work for Mechiras Chametz? Okay, so we throw in a million different chumras, and we have 18 different types of kinyanim for the Mechiras Chametz, but that is one of them. Okay, fine, so we throw it in as a chumra. Rabbi Zeh, the Chuvas Marsham says that it's because of Dina de Malchusa. Medina de Malchusa Schiris is Kona. So maybe we rely on that. Rabbi Zeira Amar, maybe Arba Akelim and Menich and Tachas Ragov. He says, no, you can do Agba on an elephant. How do you lift an elephant? Bring four Kalim right next to its legs and get the elephant to stand on top of those Kalim. Lift up one leg at a time, maybe, and put the elephant on top of the Kalim. So you've then lifted the elephant off the ground. But then you see that you see from there, if that works, that the Kalim of the Lokech in the property of the Mocher is able to be kona on behalf of the lekeach, because the lekeach is taking the kelim and into the property of the mocher, and he's having the elephant in the property of the mocher stand on top of the kelim. So it says Gemara, now how come I ask him in besimta? We're not talking about it's in the rishos of the mocher; it's in a simta. Inami bechavilei zemuros, or we're talking about where there are chavilei zemuros that you are kona the elephant through agbah. What does that mean? What is chavilei zemuros? So Rashi over here says you need to lift the elephant 3 tefachim off the ground. Kalim generally are less than 3 tefachim high. So kalim aren't enough. You need to take big bundles of elephant food and put it under their feet, and then they'll be 3 tefachim off the ground. Frektosos, why would you say chavilei zemuros? If you want to just get the idea across, you need to lift the 3 tefachim off the ground, say large rocks. Right? Why chavilei zemuros? Why would you talk about elephant food? So very Yisodos deGetosos, it doesn't sound like Yisodos deGetosos, but it is, and we'll discuss tomorrow why. Tosos says, no, chavilei zemuros are elephant food. How are you magbia the elephant? You lift up the chavilei zemuros in front of its face, and it jumps. It jumps when it sees its food. And in that way, you're magbia the elephant, that even though you're not doing anything to the elephant proper, you're just picking something up in front of the elephant jumping, in that way, that's called that you are magbia the elephant, and you're therefore kona, the elephant, Agbah. Shor Mitzvah Balacha says that's why we dance in Simchas Torah. We jump and we dance to show that we're being makna ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we'll get to why that's an important issue in Halacha. Mitzvah, first thing tomorrow.